Mr. Head.
May it please the Court. Roger Knutson brings this appeal from entry of summary judgment on three claims for unpaid commissions. She claimed he earned while working for UGS and SDRC. For simplicity, I'll refer to the appellee as UGS. It was dismissed on the basis of contract construction on one of the claims. Two of the claims were dismissed under a statute of limitations. Turning first to the portion of his claim that was dismissed on contract construction, there was a 2003 written incentive plan that UGS handed down to its sales representatives, and it included a language that said software measurement to include 50% of all NX NASTRAN software and related PLM CAE software sales. The struggle
so what,
on what this
is
issue.
What is your conception of related? What does related mean?
Well, that is exactly where the struggle on this case is. We take the view that the term related was an inclusive language. It meant to include any CAE software sales that were sold along with the NASTRAN software, simply because NASTRAN won't work without the CAE software.
But the converse is not true, as I understand. The CAE software works with lots of things other than NASTRAN.
That is correct. You can sell CAE software as a standalone product.
Right. So why doesn't this language in the amended 2003 plan say that you're going to get commissions only on that subset of PLM CAE software sales that relate to the NASTRAN software, not the rest of the CAE?
Your Honor, just so I understand, by subset, do you mean standalone or subset do you mean by
I mean there's a universe of PLM CAE software sales. Some of them are sold in conjunction with, or some of this software is sold in conjunction with the NX NASTRAN software, and some of it is sold as a standalone product or maybe with some other software program. I don't know. Actually, your brief was replete with these initials that a non-software person like me found a bit hard to follow. But be that as it may, if I'm understanding correctly, not all PLM CAE software is sold in conjunction with NASTRAN software, right?
That is correct.
So why doesn't this, just in a straightforward way, mean you're only going to get commissions on the part that is sold with the NX NASTRAN software?
Well, if you step back and look at the incentive program as it is, Mr. Knutson earned commissions on all software he sold. If he went out and sold CAE software under this commission agreement or incentive
What's
plan...
What's the difference between NASTRAN and CAE? Isn't NASTRAN a type of CAE? Does CAE just mean computer-assisted engineering? Isn't that what NASTRAN is?
NASTRAN, Your Honor, I am not incredibly versed in the intricacies of these software.
Well, you ought to be, because this is very important to your case. Better know the product you're talking about.
One is data management, and one is computer-aided drafting.
What's the difference?
Well, one manages the data that goes into the computer-aided drafting software. That's my understanding of it, Your Honor.
Is CAE just the drafting software?
I believe so.
It's just drafting.
An engineering program. It is made for drafting.
So NASTRAN is completely different. It's not not a type of CAE. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
Right. NASTRAN manages data, and I believe the CAE actually puts that into motion into the engineering program itself. And, Your Honor, to beg your indulgence, I'm not going to go much further with that because I'm not an engineer or a software specialist.
Well, if you argue a case involving engineering, you have to learn the engineering.
Well, Your Honor, that is actually the point that comes to you on this case is that the district court found that this was a patent ambiguity on this incentive program or incentive plan, because they could look at the four corners of the document and see the ambiguity, but that's impossible because you have to have an understanding of what these software programs do. Simply writing the letters PLM CAE or NX NASTRAN, you have to look outside the document to understand what it is.
But I'm not sure about that. Now, I was troubled that the district court was trying to distinguish between patent and latent ambiguities, because it looks like the Indiana Supreme Court has decided that this can't be done. But I would come back to this language of the plan itself, which I think was something for the court to construe and therefore something we can look at. Under your theory, I don't know why they bothered even to put this phrase in there, because if he was going to earn a commission on virtually everything, why would you say, and you're going to get a commission on 50% of all NX and Astran software and related PLM CAE software sales in these particular regions? Don't we have to read that as meaning something?
Sure, and it means he's going to make or accrue commissions on 50% of those sales as opposed to 100% of those sales.
Right, and which sales are we talking about? It looks like the sales of the NX and Astran software and the sales of the CAE that's related to the Nastran software, not all of the CAE software sales.
Well, Your Honor, if he sells Nastran...
Otherwise, what's the word related doing there? Why doesn't it say all PLM CAE software sales?
If he sells Nastran and CAE in a contemporaneous sale, he's going to earn 50% of that. If he sells CAE standalone, he's going to receive 100% of that.
Where does it say that?
It doesn't. It doesn't, but the software agreement says he's going to earn commissions on software sales. CAE is a software. He's going to earn it. That's the whole problem with this. It's ambiguous. We have to remember this case was dismissed on summary judgment. We want to try this case. We want to present to the jury all of these opposing views of what this document
means.
But
you can't point me to anything that says he gets 100% commission into the Central and Eastern America sales regions for the rest of the CAE software he sells?
Your Honor, in the document itself, it says that he has an annual quota and it gives two measurements, measurement one and measurement two. And
but there's no language. I take it from your answer that there is nowhere in the amended 2003 plan that it actually says out loud what you just said.
That is correct. No, Your Honor,
got to somehow squeeze it out of this 50% of all NX and Astran software language.
Well, it's our position that it's actually UGS that's doing squeezing, Your Honor. They're asking for a very narrow, constrictive view. We look at this as being inclusive.
Even though it singles out a particular type of software.
It singles out a CAE sold with this brand new software of Nastran.
Mm-hmm.
CAE could have been sold prior to that. CAE could have been sold without Nastran. There's nothing in here that says that excludes standalone CAE software sales from his commissions. And in fact, that document that we're speaking of does include some exclusionary language. They have the foresight to say that federal business would be excluded from his commission computation. If they wanted to exclude standalone CAE sales, they could have done that.
That's in the 2003 amended plan.
That's in the 2003 amended incentive plan, which you can find at docket 44, attachment 11. The second and third claims that Mr. Knudsen brought were for sales to General Motors of some software, as well as a maintenance agreement to Delphi. These were dismissed on summary judgment on the basis of a statute of limitations. This court has dealt with this statute of limitations in the past. It's Indiana Code 341121. And it creates a two-year statute of limitations for claims arising in employment matters. But except from that two-year statute of limitations, actions based upon written contract.
Now, Indiana has understood that to mean a written employment contract in cases like the Kemper against Warren Petroleum case.
Reading through those cases in a cursory fashion, yes, Your Honor, it does say that, and that is something that we're struggling with on this part of our claim. But what we'd ask the court to look at is two things. First of all, the rationale for that two-year statute of limitations is to guard employers from being blindsided by a 8- or 9-year-old claim from an employee on an oral agreement or an oral employment contract saying that this happened or that happened, and we agreed to this orally.
Couldn't you make the same argument about the plan in Kemper that was written?
But in Kemper, Your Honor, the employee had
but
to
the
prove
employment, the employment contract wasn't, but compensation plan, the pension plan was.
Right, but the employee had to prove that he had 5 years of experience or had been working for 5 years to be vested in that. So there was something about the oral agreement, the existence of the oral agreement, the oral employment relationship that was essential to that claim. In this case, the entirety of this claim for the GM sales and the Delphi sales arise from that written document. Mr. Knutson could have been an employee, he could have been an independent contractor, any master-servant relationship that would authorize him to sell that software on behalf of UGS.
I'm not sure that's true. I mean, UGS says that these plans were employee compensation plans and thus might not cover independent contractors.
That is correct, but the employee relationship is not essential. We will stipulate,
why?
And there's no question, he was an employee, and these plans were given to employees.
And his being an employee would be a necessary element of his entitlement to compensation under the plan.
I disagree with that, Your Honor. The fact that he was authorized by UGS to sell this software under any circumstance, the 2001 agreement stands alone on itself. If this Indiana statute was supposed to be limited strictly to a full-fledged employment contract that had identified a term for years and a wage rate and all the things that you need to have a written employment contract, the statute should say employment contract. But it just says...
Wait a minute. I want to go back to what we were talking about. On page 22 of the UGS, or Siemens, or whatever we want to call them at this point, brief, they say... It does matter whether Knutson was an employee. The compensation plan in question was explicitly limited to SDRC employees, limiting the definition of participants to employees, and that the term of his employment also matters. So are they just wrong there, or is this what?
That's their argument and position.
Well, is that what these documents say? It says the definition of participants is limited to employees.
It does not say that on the document, Your Honor. The document, all it says... is it identifies the name and an employee ID number. By that we infer that this is an employee, but it does not say anywhere on here that this incentive plan is available only to employees. Again, the document is a very cursory instrument that just gives numbers and software measurements. It's not something that each party says that we agree to this and we agree to that and these are conditions precedent and we'll sign it. It's a data sheet, Your Honor.
Moved. Thank you, Your Honors.
Maybe you can say something about the relation between NASTRAN and CAE.
Our understanding, Your Honor, is that NASTRAN does, in fact, manage data. CAE, computer-aided engineering programs, assist in the engineering. NASTRAN would essentially be an add-on that would assist the functionality and efficacy of the CAE software, and it was a new product back in 2003. There was a desire on the part of UGS to get people out promoting that product. Mr. Knutson at that time was in an overlay position. He was not making direct sales.
Why did the contract provide that he'd get a commission for NASTRAN plus related CAE? What was the thinking behind that?
Looking at the four corners and why it would be related versus simply saying and, is that if Mr. Knutson had a role in convincing a client not just to purchase this add-on, but to purchase an entire CAE suite plus this add-on, the company wanted to give Mr. Knutson an incentive to, in essence, sell the accessory and the car, to use an analogy that Mr. Henn used in his
brief. But if he just sold the CAE by itself, CAE made by his employer, why wouldn't that be something you'd want to reward him for?
Mr. Knutson at this point wasn't actually outselling. He was in that overlay position. He was assisting others, and others were making sales. The records...
Well, suppose he's helped someone else sell a CAE without the NASTRAN.
Well, if you look, the point was to focus Mr. Knutson's efforts on this new product, this NASTAN product. If you look in the record as to what the existing...
So why doesn't the contract say that he would be compensated for Nastran or for a sale that included Nastran as a component. Why use a term like related? It's so ambiguous.
One might have used a better term, but if related in this context, it has to mean in conjunction with the sale. To say related simply means CAE software reads out the importance of the word related from that paragraph.
No,
that
related is extremely vague. I mean, suppose you said you gave him a commission on rakes and related garden equipment. That's a perfectly good use of related, but has nothing to do with sale in conjunction with.
But
that's why I asked whether Nastran was a part of CAE, because if it were, he'd have a good argument.
It's something that works in connection
no,
with.
No, it doesn't. In my example, it isn't, right? Rakes and other garden equipment. You can just buy the rake. You don't have to use it together with a hoe, right? You just use it for rake leaves. If you gave someone a commission measured by, said, rakes and other garden equipment and related, I'm sorry, rakes and related equipment, right? Then that would include hoes and, you know, shovels and so on, even though they weren't sold at the same time, right?
Related would connote that there's some connection between the two. The two
no,
need
it
to
doesn't.
Be used.
All related means is that there's a resemblance. It doesn't have to be a connection in the sense of use or sale together. Just think of how you use the word related.
But if you take related to mean any CAE software,
excuse me?
If you take the extend that out to the specific incident here, which is related PLM CAE software, that would extend.
What if it's PLM, whatever it is, CAE software that's related in the sense that it works with Nastran, but it isn't sold at the same time? Right? Suppose someone has bought Nastran, and now he's looking for CAE stuff. And so suppose Knutson assists in the sale of the CAE to someone who's already bought Nastran. Would he be entitled to a commission then?
No.
Why?
Because
it's very unreasonable.
It's a sale.
It's certainly related, right? The CAE is going to be used with an Nastran.
Well, but
just being sold at a different time.
That's not the definition that
there
Mr. Knutson
no
has identified.
There is no definition.
The position that Mr. Knutson has taken is that all CAE software is related.
Well, I may be wrong, but you may be wrong too. You may both be wrong.
Well, if Your Honor,
I understand your position. If he sold CAE for use with Nastran that the customer had already bought, surely that would be related CAE. It's going to be used with Nastran, just sold at a different time.
The problem, Your Honor, is we're dealing with hypotheticals. This was a case that was brought in September of 2005.
Why don't you just say that maybe the 2003 plan would cover the non-contemporaneous sale that Judge Posner's postulating? What would be so awful about that?
The initial 2003 plan did cover that. It covered software. It didn't distinguish
between... Well, but as long as you can show that the CAE software was going to be used with the Nastran, why wouldn't you say he'd earned a commission on that, even if it happens that he sells, or the person with whom he's working sells the Nastran in week one, and 4 weeks later the customer sees the light and buys the CAE software too, but it's to use with the Nastran. Why?
Because the point was to promote Nastran sales, not to promote sales of software in general. If the point of continuing Mr. Knutson's employment had simply been...
No, but then you wouldn't have the related CAE in there. No, look. Let me ask you a different question about the statute of limitations.
Certainly.
This is a Kemper case. It doesn't contain any reasoning. Now, is there some reason why, even though you have a written contract that's comprehensive and covers all the issues in dispute, the fact that it arose out of an oral employment relation should shorten the statute of limitations? There's some sense to that? Or?
Your Honor, to the extent there would be a reason, the reason is you do have to, in these situations, reflect back to the existence of an employment relationship and the terms of the employment relationship. For example, the compensation plan that was.
Well, suppose you didn't have to. Suppose that the employment relation was conceded, and there was actually absolutely nothing in the oral employment contract or relation or anything that bore on the interpretation of the compensation agreement. Would there still be a reason why the shorter statute of limitations would apply?
In that case, Your Honor, the employee would be forced to hope for the happen chance that the employment relationship wasn't at issue, would wait an additional potentially 8 years before the claim was brought. Documents would be destroyed. Evidence would be discarded over time.
Wait a second. You've lost me. Any time you have a 10-year statute of limitations on a written contract, documents may be lost, etc. Nevertheless, you know, written contract, long statute of limitations. In my example, if there's absolutely nothing relating to the employment relationship that's germane to the case, just the written compensation agreement, why would you want to have a shorter statute of limitations?
Well, your example assumes there will be no controversy.
Precisely. That's what I'm asking you about. Would you still argue that the shorter statute of limitations applies?
Yes.
And why?
Because through the Kemper case and several cases.
Forget the Kemper case. Kemper case has no reasoning. I'm asking for a reason.
The reason is that in those situations, there is now clear guidance as to why the statute should be there, and there may be additional issues that extend outside.
But suppose there are no additional issues.
In that side,
then what's the sense of it?
In that sense, I believe sense. It would still be
and
appropriate.
And what is this stuff in Kemper about a privilege of employment? What on earth is that term about?
I've never seen that before. A privilege of employment is an opportunity or a right that one gets because they're employed.
Well, wait a second. We usually think of privilege as something that's not a right. It's a privilege. It's something granted as a matter of grace, right? Well, that's not what this is about. This is a contract, this compensation agreement. It doesn't have anything to do with privileges. Not a privilege. It's a right. So Kemper case talk about privilege of employment?
It is something that one gains because they are allowed. In some respects, I suppose that if there was a company.
Well, is a pension a privilege of employment?
That is the way that Kemper approached
it. So if you sue to enforce a pension, you have a 2-year statute of limitations? Is that what you're saying?
For the purposes of interpreting.
Is that Indiana law?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
Unless that pension is part of a complete compensation agreement, a complete employment agreement, which would include the terms and all of the other relevant points of the employment relationship. That is the way Kemper ruled, which is, granted, it is a transfer denied
case.
Is
there a pension case in Indiana?
I believe.
Pretty unlikely after ERISA, I should think.
And that may be why the issue hasn't arisen, because ERISA has come into play. Kemper did concern.
Now, how would Knutson's entitlement to a commission here be affected by the terms of his oral employment relationship?
If that relationship, didn't exist, he would not be eligible.
Yes, I know, but it's not in dispute, right?
It's not in dispute in this case. It is something that might be in dispute in other situations.
Sure, that'd be something else, but
he's only entitled, and there is specific reference in the agreement itself, that it extends only to SDRC employees. That's how participant is defined.
But your proposition basically is that you're really saying that if someone is an employee and he doesn't actually have a written employment contract, employment at will, then or at least there's no written contract at all, then no contract he could make with his employer would be subject to the 10-year statute of limitations.
So long as the employment relationship was not included as part of that agreement. The term, the compensation, and the other essentials to a written employment contract. We have raised other issues in our briefing regarding why the GM and the Delphi contract situations would be appropriate for dismissal on summary judgment based on fact issues. Those are well addressed in the briefs, and I won't address them here, but we continue to believe that even if one were to set aside the statute of limitation issues, that it would be appropriate to affirm Judge Barker's rulings as to the GM and Delphi contract matters based on the fact that the undisputed facts establish that Mr. Knutson is not entitled to commissions. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Anything further, Mr. Hinton? Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.